Hey everyone, it's Ryan and Peter here. Today we wanted to talk about the inflation rate and why we think it's going to fall sooner than everyone else expects and what the fallout is going to be in terms of what it means for the economy and your underlying investments.
Yeah, we're going to break down five factors that really influence inflation: the money supply, housing costs, shipping container costs, commodity prices, and the supply chain. So you really can't talk about inflation without first talking about the money supply. Mm-hmm. So give us a background. Money supply really changed recently the past couple of years. What happened?
So the money supply is just the amount of money that's inside the US economy at any given time. And so whenever we think about what is an actual driver of inflation, money supply is the number one driver of inflation in not just here in the US, but in any economy throughout history.
Yeah.
And so the money supply here in the United States increased by 40% from the beginning of COVID, so March of 2020, all the way through until March of this year. So 40%. So if you want to know why the cost of everything that has been going up, you know, over the past couple of years, that's the number one reason. However, money supply has actually started to decline over the past couple of months. So if the increase in money supply is going to be an inflationary force, mm-hmm. then the decrease of money supply is going to be a deflationary force. So we think that's the number one reason why inflation rate is going to drop at some point. We just don't know when.
Yeah, it plays a huge role. The amount of money floating around the economy has a big impact on how much people are spending.
Yes.
There's just no way around it. It's pretty straightforward. I think most people understand that as well.
Yes, there's some that will fight that, but...
That's probably true.
Yeah, I mean, that's true with any fact, right?
Yeah. Okay. And then we've also got housing prices, right? We did a recent show about this data is starting to show housing not only slowing down, but declining in price. And housing has a huge impact on both the CPI, which is that measurement which people go off of when they're hearing about inflation.
Yeah.
And our overall GDP and just economic growth, right?
Correct. Yeah. So housing plays about 30% of CPI. So CPI is just the consumer price index. Just the way that we measure inflation here in the United States. So whenever you look at housing costs, whether that's just like your mortgage or insurance payments or, you know,
rent
property
payments
tax
going up
or rent if you rent, like that contributes to about 30% of CPI. So a huge piece of that.
Yeah.
And so as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, housing is extremely overvalued and we are seeing a lot of signs of that starting to roll over. So if we do enter into a recession, probably we're saying a recession is going to start by March of 2023.
That's what the data all seems to be trending towards, right? Spring of next year, it looks like.
We see it like it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. I think most people, maybe not everyone, but most people do agree that a recession is coming. Then we see housing prices falling by 20%, 25%.
Yeah, that seems to be what a lot of the forecasts are.
And if that's 30% of the component of CPI, then that's got to have a very deflationary effect on us all.
Yeah, and including not only that as well, just its impact on our economy and our GDP, right? Housing generally makes up about 15 to 18% of our GDP. So if housing has a big fall, that has a huge impact on whether or not we even are in a recession or could put us into a recession. And again, that's another deflationary event.
Right.
So that could be another kind of trickle down effect of how housing could have a big impact on whether or not we're in a recession and what happens to our inflation.
Right. And so, you know, speaking of that, one thing that we didn't talk about is the fact that a recession is deflationary in and of itself.
Yeah.
Like that's just part of the definition of a recession.
Yeah.
And so this is not a 2008 scenario where we're looking at housing price is just going to completely destroy the US and global economy, but it is going to impact GDP for sure.
Yeah. So. All right. So this next one is an interesting one. Shipping container costs. This is not something
so fun
everybody thinks about when they think about inflation, right? And what's going on with our economy.
Yeah.
But this is a really interesting one that obviously we're in a global economy now. This has a huge impact.
Yeah.
Everybody heard stories about supply chain stuff from the past couple of years,
but
shipping container costs in particular had a huge spike the past couple of years.
Massive.
And we're
spike.
Seeing just as quick of a reversal right now, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've all seen the footage of the Port of LA, which just, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of ships just waiting to enter into the port of LA.
Yep.
Or the Suez Canal, where was it? The Evergreen? Was that the name of the ship that got stuck?
Ooh, good question. All those memes, though. Yeah.
Yeah, with the little ridiculous. Tiny
the digger trying to dig it out with a shovel in there.
It was stuck there for days, right?
Yep.
Backed up, you know, just backed up all the ships and shipping. So. But that's largely been solved for. And so you're seeing shipper containing costs fall by 60% from its all-time high.
Which is absolutely massive. I mean, and this has a huge impact on everything. And it's estimated that about 1.5% of our inflation in 2022 was strictly from shipping container costs. That's how big it is. That's 1.5% of inflation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an amazing number. And you even recently had like the Costco CEO mentioned their shipping costs have gone down dramatically, and they hope that that can now be passed on to consumers.
Yes.
So that's the hope, is that as shipping container costs come down, the cost of goods for all these companies are going to revert back.
Yeah, and so we'll see how much that does trickle down to the end consumer. I don't know. Like, we don't know if that's just a mouth speak by Costco CEO.
And Costco's unique. Costco is also not like every other company, right, where they're trying for margin on their product.
Right.
They get there. Money from memberships, right? So they have a lower margin. So it'll be curious to see, do other companies all of a sudden have reduced costs and go back to last 2 years' prices?
But if it's a competitive marketplace, then you would assume that
you
all
would assume
equal,
so. Yes,
that
exactly.
You've got to drop those prices if you want those customers to come through your door.
Yeah.
So we think that's a big one as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So next one is commodity prices in general. So we're talking corn, we're talking lumber, we're talking gasoline. We're talking gas prices, beef, you know, all of those.
Soy, so much stuff.
Everything, yes. So the wrinkle in all of this is, of course, you know, the Ukraine crisis with Russia invading Ukraine.
Yep.
That's impacting oil prices and grain prices, of course.
Huge impact.
But in general, commodity prices across the board have fallen off, and some by as much as like 80%.
Yeah. It has. Absolutely.
So, of course, that's going to impact inflation rates, right? Those prices going down, then, of course, that's got to impact just what's the average overall inflation rate in general.
Yeah, that big curveball is energy. That's that one that's tricky to forecast what could happen, because there's so much geopolitics involved with what is going on with energy.
Right.
That, of course, has a big role in CPI. But most of the other commodities, as you said, we're seeing a dramatic drop in prices.
Right.
Absolutely.
So if you're looking to do any type of work in your backyard and you need lumber for that, you know, now is a much better time than last summer.
It was crazy to see the price of lumber.
Which is when I decided to fix up my backyard.
How'd that go? Is that a good choice?
Not the best choice.
Okay.
No.
All right. That happens.
I paid the price.
That happens. There you go. Lumber is about like 60% less. It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
It is.
Okay. So supply chain. You can't talk about inflation without supply chain either. We know that this got wrecked in 2020 and it took a couple of years to slowly start recovery. We've heard things about chip shortages for cars, because new cars all require so many more chips than past.
Still waiting on my car.
We've heard things like shipping, things like lumber, everything, it's been impacted. But there have been improvements, right? And we're seeing more and more improvements to the supply chain.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, what was the big set that we were looking at here? So JP Morgan Research said that they believe that the chip shortage backlog is pretty much all the way done. So they released a report August of this year, and they said that they expect that chip shortage, mostly like 90%, is going to be done somewhere between September and October of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they're stating. You have to follow JP Morgan's research. It's very reliable. So I do know that it's not done in the car market, because my wife and I are still waiting on our Toyota Highlander. And
how long has that been now? What's your wait so far?
It's been about 4 months and we're still
waiting. And so now you're basically in 2023 almost.
At this point, why am I waiting for a 2022 model when the 2023s are out?
It's a very valid question.
And so we're thinking of backing out, but it's like, oh, it's a sunk cost. I know that, but we've been waiting for 3 to 4 months already. So,
and they're about to have a new car out, right?
They already have it out.
And they're going to show you ads and make you feel like your 2022 is old now.
Yeah. I was like, am I going to buy a depreciating asset? No.
And the car market's been wild. Used car prices, another big thing that helps
those
track.
Those are starting to roll
really over. Starting to roll over and go down as well. And this all of this ties together. This is one big global economy. All of these work together, but you see things like shipping container costs impact car prices.
Mm-hmm.
You see the chip shortage and supply chain impacts car prices, because of course, they can't get new cars. Dealerships are now going to try to buy used cars.
Yeah.
More buyers trying to buy used cars. You've seen the used car market just go absolutely wild for the past couple of years. And then you see new cars, people show up to buy a new car and they're charging over MSRP.
Yeah.
And it used to be you could do a deal or something on the parking lot. Like, but now it's, you're paying over that little squiggly price on the windshield.
Yeah. And we were told that if whenever we pick up our car, we're paying $2,500 above MSRP.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is nuts. And these car salesmen are the worst people on this planet. Like, I don't want to give them $2,500. So I'm very much inclined to just saying, you know what? I can wait.
I'll wait it out. I'll wait it out. I'll be patient. Yeah. So it's a number of factors here. These five things are big core things that could move inflation lower than people are expecting, because Wall Street thinks that this is going to be in terms of a very high inflation short term. And then they think we'll just go back to the low 2.5-3% after that, right?
In the long term.
That's the long term expectation.
And we actually think it's going to be the inverse. So we're expecting inflation to fall at some point within the short term. We don't know if this is going to be 6 months, 3 months, a year. Mm. I mean, there's so many different forces at play here that we were just talking about. But we do think short-term inflation is going to be lower than what Wall Street expects. However, we think inflation is going to ride higher in the more medium to long term. And the reason why is because we have about $31 trillion worth of debt in the United States.
Yeah, just a small number.
This is such a scary number to like say out loud. $31 trillion. And we think that Washington has a very strong incentive to monetize that debt.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning it's a lot easier for a politician to just simply print more money.
Yeah.
Rather than to raise taxes and cut any type of government programs to run a balanced budget and try to pay off this debt.
Yeah.
So I think, and a lot of people agree with my assessment here, that Washington's longer term plan for this $31 trillion debt load is to simply inflate away that dollar amount. Mm-hmm. Because whenever you look at like how much debt load does a country have, you just don't look at like the nominal amount of $31 trillion. You're looking at what is the debt to GDP ratio.
Yeah.
And our current debt to GDP ratio is about 135%.
So our debt is 135% higher than our GDP.
Yes, our gross domestic product. Like basically like what's the strength of our economy here in the United States.
Yeah.
And that number, you know, was about 100% about it 10 years ago, but it just exploded with COVID.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you're starting to see that number decline.
It is. As that money supply has gone back, we're seeing this decline a little bit. Yeah. So, and you're seeing it slowing growth.
So maybe just a higher running inflation, sort of like the 1970s era where you have like 5 to 7% inflation rate, something that is not great for the end consumer like you and I, but it's not going to absolutely crush the economy.
Yes.
So if you let that run for 5 to 10 years, all of a sudden your $31 trillion debt load doesn't look so bad.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's so $31 trillion in debt, $93,000 per citizen of debt. And per taxpayer, $247,000 per taxpayer is our debt.
So that's like a mortgage.
Those are big numbers. Wow.
that's a mortgage.
Those are big numbers. All right. So with that, everybody is bearish right now, right?
Everybody. I don't know a single bullish person out there.
I don't think I do either.
No. Except for maybe you and I, it's starting to turn a little bullish.
a little bit opportunistic.
Yeah,
we'll
Yeah. So we think that bad news is priced into this market. So if you look at everybody's assessment of what do you think inflation is going to be? What do you think, you know, if a recession is coming? Everybody is so bearish. They're looking at geopolitics. They're looking at what's happening in Europe. They're looking at what's happening in China. Everybody is so bearish that we think that it's actually priced into these markets right now. And you combine that with the fact that the general US consumer is still pretty healthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you look at like a typical corporation out there, like the corporate balance sheets actually look pretty good as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you combine that with the fact that a lot of people have just cash sitting on the sidelines because they are so bearish. It actually wants you to become, makes you want to become somewhat of a contrarian and say, you know what? Like a little bit of positive news flow, like declining inflation, that's going to be such a boon for the market.
Absolutely. Yeah. We talk about this every single day. The market prices in these forward-looking expectations.
Yeah.
It's everybody in aggregate's very well aware inflation is high. We're all very well aware that there could be a coming recession.
Yeah.
That's why prices and stocks have reacted so quickly. And it is one of those things where you're trying to think what might happen, what might be a pivot for the Fed, And there is a lot of data that's showing this could potentially slow down in terms of inflation quicker than people think.
Yeah.
And it's something to be aware of when you're building up your investment policy of how am I going to invest my money? How much cash do I want to have? What am I doing?
Right. And so, I mean, asset allocation and like how much risk are you taking with your money? Like that is everything. And we think the bigger risk is not actually being invested in the market.
Yeah.
And so we've been talking to clients who have cash on the sidelines, and it just, with this current setup, with how bearish everybody is and what we think inflation rates are going to be, you know, if you're sitting on the sidelines, I would definitely take a step back and rethink that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
So long story short, we think that there are a lot of deflationary forces out there. We talked about them. The big one's going to be the money supply, the shipping container rates, housing, commodity prices.
Yep. And supply chain improvements.
The real trick is knowing when does this actually have an impact on inflation rates.
Yep.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows that.
We don't know that. Fed doesn't
know that. Crystal ball.
Yeah. But that's it for today's episode. We hope that just our little bit of information and our, you know, our thought process is valuable to you. If you do have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us. You know, Peter and I are more than happy to assist here.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. See you next time.